Usually I bring something devotional, but today's going to be a little different. I prayed about what to bring, and the Lord just put this on my heart. It's going to be more of a lesson, perhaps, but something the Lord's burdened me about. And just, again, want to thank the church. Can't thank you enough. And Pastor Sal, just a blessing to be here. And just everybody's kind and taking care of us, praying for us. Food's been excellent, and just everybody's spirit has been good. I didn't see a bad attitude once, except out of Brother Bard. That was the only one. Amen. So I better quit. But yeah, it's been really good to be here. This is the only meeting I go to every year, and I just work a part-time job now. I had a business for a while and got rid of that. And a lot of you have been praying for my kids. Appreciate that. My daughter, who was having seizures, she's now married and getting ready to have a baby here in a few weeks. So, yeah, appreciate your prayers for that. She's so far the baby's good and healthy, and we're thankful. So I want to look in verse number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. No water up here. Is that your fault? 1 Timothy chapter 4, number 1. I'll struggle through. Where's Dave Heaton when you need him? Amen. First Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Just going to leave you there with one verse. And if you're a pastor here today, you know, pastors, we try to fix things. And in the last, I've been in church since 1981. Things have really, the landscape of spirituality has really changed. And not only, I guess, is it discouraging to a pastor, but it's discouraging to our church members. And one of the men already mentioned here that things are just not like they used to be. And I've been burdened about that. We have two choices. We can either act like nothing's going on. Amen. I've been in meetings where guys preached and, you know, they just act like nothing's going on. Everything remains the same, you know. All things continue as they were, but that's not the case. Or we can be like the men of Issachar who prayed for understanding of the times. Amen. And that's what we need. Things are changing, and change is not bad. Sometimes you need to change, and we're so afraid of change as Baptists, you know, except from a vending machine. But I was checking to make sure we got it, you know. But, you know. Again, I think we need to look into these last days get a hold of what's going on here. Oh, bless your heart, brother. Is that what you're supposed to say? Bless your heart. All right, thank you, Brother Sherman. Three? Thank you. Only needed one. All right. I'm not going to turn around and show you my bald spot like Brother Rogers. I'm going to drink it right in front of you, bro. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for just being real to us this week. All these preachers, Lord, just been a blessing in my heart. Sure, I speak for everyone here. Lord, we need encouragement in these last days. I pray you'd touch this message, fill me with your spirit. God, fill this place. It's Thursday morning. We're tired and weary. But Lord, it's been so good. And so today I pray that you just help me to deliver what's on my heart, get out of the way here. And you'd be with these other men who will preach today, tonight, tomorrow. And God, I pray this meeting would be just exceed the expectations of Pastor Sal and this church and their kindness. I pray that you'd reward them, Lord, for their labor. We love you, and thank you for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this chapter kind of outlines itself. And what I want to focus on this morning is verse number one. The Bible says, and I think we blow over this. I don't know about you. Sometimes I read over phrases or sentences in the Bible, sometimes even paragraphs. But when I looked at this, the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly. I don't know any other place in the Bible that it was so emphatic that the Holy Spirit of God was speaking expressly, trying to get a message across to God's people about the last days. The Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. He's going to predict the apostasy here. The Spirit speaketh expressly. That's the title of my message. And capital S here. He says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Small s. I know it's a Bible conference. I'm trying not to be too simple this morning, but this is a divine prediction from the third person of the Godhead. He is the author of the prediction. The Holy Spirit doesn't just speak for the sake of speaking, but rather expressly means explicitly. It means it means clearly. It means this is a definite matter of the mind of the Holy Spirit of God. That's important. This message Paul is giving to Timothy to preach to the church. The Holy Spirit, again, gives a special announcement for a special problem. So Paul tells Timothy what he's going to face in the latter times. All of us who have pastored are familiar with this passage. And but sometimes the familiarity causes us to perhaps overlook some things. And so this would not only hinder the church, it's going to paralyze the church. And I think that's what we're facing today. The Bible says that some shall depart from the faith. I'm glad for that word, some, you know. I'm thankful for those who have not bowed the knee to Baal. We've heard a little bit about that this week. But the Bible says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that word, seducing, means to beguile, to entice, to lure. The apostasy of 1 Timothy chapter 4 prepares the way for perilous times in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The factors that make up apostasy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 come to fruition in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So I want to look at that for just a little bit this morning. Again, the chapter kind of outlines itself as we look into sound doctrine, spiritual discipline, and solemn duty is what we'll look at today. So we see this departure. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And take a look with me in verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says, thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And so he talks about this departure. Go to chapter 4 and verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Demas, we've heard messages preached on Demas, chapter 4 and verse 10, 2 Timothy. And he says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Amen. And is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Look in verse number 16 of that chapter. And Paul says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Amen. And so the closer we get to the rapture, the apostates will be on the rise. We just celebrated the 40 years anniversary at our church. Our church has been in operation for 40 years. I haven't been pastor that long, but and we were there, and I brought the original pastor, or one of the original pastors, back. But we had, and I have a couple of our young preachers with us. One surrendered to preach, Pastor Ben Hayes is in Walkersville, Maryland, doing a great job there. And so we had these young men come back, and I told my pastor, I said, there could have been four generations of preachers here. But the oldest preacher went off into Reformed theology. What a shame. What a heartbreak. And so as we look at this today, you know, people are turning away from the truth. Brother King brought it out so aptly that they're being turned unto fables. And he gave a good definition of that word fables. They will leave the truth for error. They will give heed to seducing spirits. And instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them, so the Spirit is speaking expressly about the departure in the last days. Amen. And so instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, they're giving heed to seducing spirits. And they allow themselves to be seduced. And by spirits and demons and of course rejecting the truth, and they don't like preaching against the truth. They like holding a Bible that only contains truth, or as far as I'm concerned, has no truth. Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm glad you young people are in here today. I'm sure that was the Lord was in that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, take a look with me in verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know we know these verses. I just have you read a little bit this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. The Bible says, and no marvel. It's no marvel to us because we're saved. Amen. It's no marvel to God's people, but the Bible says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, listen, God's still in control. And God knows if you're holding the line or not. Amen. So we have all kinds of seducing spirits. We could go on the rest of the day talking about that. We have this grace movement, you know, this extreme grace movement. We have that going on. We have, you know, salvation without repentance, which is not salvation at all. Amen. And the idea of seducing spirit, if it's big, God must be in it. Amen. And I'm thankful for big churches, but they're just, they're a rarity today, especially Baptist churches. I think there's a lot more churches around the country that are just running 30, 40, 50 people. You know, God's just, faithful men of God, just plowing the field week after week. And so, you know, I can worship God anywhere. That's an excuse for being out of church. Amen. I can worship God anywhere, too, but I choose to worship in church. Amen. And so, you know, God doesn't care what you wear. We're ambassadors for Christ. I don't know if we've forgotten about that or not. You go out into public and, you know, you look at people. You know, sometimes you're really stupid as a pastor, you know. And I saw a lady in the grocery store, and her little kids, you know, they all had dresses on. And I walked up to her and I said, are you Baptist? And she said, no, we're Jehovah's Witness. So I learned not to ask that again. 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Lost our holiness. You know, the hymns are old fashioned. Jeremiah told us to seek the old paths. Amen. And, man, I love singing the hymns. Amen. I appreciate the music here. I believe the devil's in contemptible Christian music. Amen. And I believe a lot of people are listening to that. I think it's worse than that. I think our people are listening to the world's music and just coming in and trying to get something from God sometimes, you know. And listen, our kids don't have to go out to the world now. The world comes to them. Amen. Now, what does a 13-year-old have to do? Why does he have to have a smartphone? Why does a 14-year-old have to have an iPad? Amen. And it's just you do what you want. Your family, we just I'm thankful. I was kind of before that, raised my kids before that. And, you know, so, you know, these kids are, you know, it's not a matter. When they leave the house, they got a whole network of people that are going to help them. Can I give you something? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 for just a moment. And this is another burden on my heart. This is a side note here, but Ephesians chapter 6. Take a look with me in verse number 1. Young people, I'm sure you've seen this verse 1,000 times, but this will be 1,001, all right? So Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? That's right. Right thing to do, right? If you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to do things that are right, correct? And verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Amen? You need to honor your parents. Amen? Don't. The Bible says, which is the first commandment with promise. And then verse 3 says this. And if you don't have this underlined, you need to underline it. It said that it may be well with thee. Amen. And that thou mayest live long on the earth. All right. Your parents brought you into this world. You ever heard that? And they could take you out. Right? OK, so here's the thing. God's intention was for you to listen to your parents. Amen. But now what we have is we have a bunch of people who are recovering Baptists. Amen. And when your kids start to go off, they are right there. Well, you come live with me. We'll take care of you. You don't need all those rules and regulations. Amen. And they coddle them. Many times it's relatives. Amen. And they coddle those children. And they allow them to live in their sin. And so we have a bunch of young people today that have no plan on repenting and getting right with God. They've been delivered. Or so they think. But my mother used to say, every dog has their day. And so anyhow, back to dogs. So escaping legalism, you know, that's their vernacular. But what the Holy Spirit said was that was a seducing spirit. That was a doctrine of devils. Amen. Secondly, the fix for that, let's go back there to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm tired of losing our young people to the world. Verse 2, the Bible says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, people have always been accused of being hypocrites. And it's been brought out so aptly this week. I mean, God's people, okay? It's been brought out so aptly this week that if everything looks good on the outside, amen, then we think we're okay. But God's concerned with the inside. Man looketh on the outward. Amen. God looketh on the heart. Amen. And so we need to keep our heart with all diligence. Solomon said, who else would know? Amen. Solomon should know. Keep our heart with all diligence. So, you know, this sound doctrine is the fix. All right. These people are corrupt in two ways. They're corrupt doctrinally, but they're also corrupt practically. You can be in a church with good doctrine, but if your heart's not right, you don't care anything about that doctrine. And I'd see young people leave and go out, and I'd say to myself, but they know the truth. Why did they do that? Well, it wasn't because of the doctrine. It's because of their heart. Amen. So when people reject the truth, the devil will be glad to use them. You ever see the ones that are popular, the ones you see, I don't know, whether on the internet or TV or whatever it is you look at, and it's always that Baptist person. You know, if it's something in the news, it's always a Baptist. You never hear about a Presbyterian or a Methodist or a Charismatic, right? It's always either a Baptist. You know, I mean, what's the devil doing? God loves to use His people who are living for Him for His honor and glory. And the devil loves to use people who aren't living for God for His honor and glory. Amen. So, you know, we got these liberal churches and, oh, we got a Baptist preacher in our church. He came to the other side. Amen. Good for him. Hypocrites. Amen. We used to say they live one way in the world, but now they live one way on Facebook. Yeah. Did you ever notice everybody on Facebook spiritual? And I don't have it, so I can preach about it in ignorance, amen? So if this isn't true, please don't tell me, but some of my pastor friends have told me, that's how I know. But they live one way on Facebook, and they live another way at church. And, you know, their homes and their kids are a train wreck. Amen? And as soon as they get the first opportunity, they're leaving the station. So sound doctrine, it's not, I mean, they're doctrinally corrupt, but they're practically corrupt. Thirdly, spiritual discipline. Take a look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look with me in verse number 24. Again, nothing new this morning, just put together in a package, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. This is Timothy's ministry and ours. Look what Paul's telling him in his day. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Aren't there some Bible verses that are really difficult? I love to strive with people. Amen? I mean, it's our nature, argumentative. You know, especially for a pastor, because we know the truth, you know. The Bible says he must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Now, that's going to be harder for some than others. It's difficult for me, but I'm learning. And he says, I have to teach. And then he puts this word in here. Well, I can't stand this word. Patient. I mean, how long, Lord? Amen. And then he says this. He says, in meekness, instructing those that what? Oppose themselves. I can't fix somebody's problem because they're opposing themselves. And pastors want to fix things. We have all the answers. They're right here in one book. Amen. And you can tell people, I've talked with people, they're in a situation. Well, what about this verse? I know that. What about this verse? I know that verse. What about, they know all the verses. Something's wrong in the heart, right? So what is the problem we saw the other night? Spiritual discipline. Amen. Why would you give heed to a seducing spirit? Why would you do that? And so the Bible says here in these verses, verse number 26, he's showing Timothy his ministry, or verse 25, he said, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of what? The truth. They know the truth, but they haven't acknowledged the truth. They're walking away from the truth. Look at verse number 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I can't recover them. Self-recovery. Amen. They have to recover. Who are taken captive by them at his will. I have a stepsister. And she's had a rough life. My dad passed away when she was fairly young, late teens, and her mother passed away a little beyond that, and she got into writing checks with no money in the account. And not only did she write checks out of her account, she wrote checks out of other people's accounts. Well, they'll send you to jail for stuff like that, which is where she ended up. And then she did a few years and she got out and she started into crack and had this habit. And And I hadn't heard from her for years. She'd been in and out of prison. I had visited her several times. And then one day she calls me on the phone. And she says, "I'm in the area." She said, "I'm visiting my children." I didn't even know she had kids. Her kids are in foster care. And she said, "Can I come by and see you?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." She came to church. And she had been in our church. I was picking her up for church before all this ever happened. And one day she just disappeared. And so she came to church and she said, "I just wanted to tell you," she said, I got saved. And she said, "I got out of jail." And she said, "I've turned my life around." You know? And she said, with the Lord's help, obviously. But she said, "It was a choice for me. I got tired of getting beat up. I got tired of being in jail. I got tired of running from the law." And she said, One day I woke up and just made a choice and thought, "I am not going to live that way anymore." But all the pain she had to go through to get there. Then our young people who were raised in church with good doctrine, you know, parents that aren't perfect but love them, a pastor in a church that loves them, and they have the answers before they know what the questions are, and they have such a head start on life. And they're going out to the trough. We had a preacher in. Brother McBride was in not too long ago, and he made this statement, which I thought was profound. It was simple, but profound. He said, "If you get away with sin, you'll be the first one." Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Spiritual discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me in verse number 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We say, well, they're on this course and they're trying to deceive people. Brethren, they're deceived themselves. Amen. It's not like they're against the church. It's not like they're against God, but they're deceived themselves. People can tell a lie to such a degree that they actually believe it. And I think that's what we have going on. And they have this little philosophy they live by. Well, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. But what is the end result of that? I mean, you have the ability, because you've been in church, to be forward thinking. All right. Yeah. OK. I'm tempted to do this, but you need some spiritual discipline. You need to say no. You need to say, "I'm not going to hang with that crowd. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And it's not just the kids. It's the adults. It's not just the adults. It's pastors. I know I can tell you handfuls of men that have left the ministry because of a seducing spirit and lack of this spiritual discipline. Jeremiah, verse number 9, said, "And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity." They weary themselves. Amen. If a man, Galatians 6:3, think himself to be something, he is nothing. And when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Had a person tell me a while back, they said, going through some problems, and they said, "I must have some pretty ideas, pretty big ideas of myself." I said, "We're making progress." Amen. Amen. So when you think of this, here's Saul consulting a witch at the end of his life because God won't talk to him. Imagine coming back to the Lord, and now he won't speak to you. I think the Bible says something in Luke about taking away that which you have. Sometimes in the back of minds of young people, they think, well, I can always come back. Yeah, but you can't come back the same. You'll come back different. Amen. Saul's sin was not yielding to God's will. That's all it was. Spiritual discipline. He thought he had a better idea, a better plan. That became his mode of operation after a while. That's where it starts. His conscience was seared with willful rejection, and God wouldn't speak to him. God rejected him from being king. And there's a lot of believers that are seared today, just like Saul. They become past feeling. The preacher could tell you this. Any preacher could tell you this. You preach a message. And the sensitive, those that are living for God, they're the ones that come to the altar. Some of the others, you couldn't blow them out of the pew with dynamite. Amen? And I had a pastor friend in for us recently. We were talking, and he said, I've told my people, he said, if Jesus himself was showing up here Sunday night to preach, some of you would tell me, you got a ball game. You can't make it. You know, that's pretty tough stuff. Amen. So let's go back there to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So I think you kind of got the message. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So when we look at this, we have this seducing departure. We have this spiritual discipline. But lastly, I think what's encouraging about the chapter, and I do want to leave you encouraged. Amen. And that's kind of the way we work it as pastors. But look in verse number 3. The Bible says here, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, and receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. And he said, it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Brethren, you need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being reminded. Well, I've heard this before. I know exactly where the preacher's going. Listen, don't do that. You're shutting the Holy Spirit off. He may say something different. He may say something just directly to you. And so as we read on down, he says to refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. How many of you know that to be true? Amen. I mean, you know, you work out, you take 3 days off, you're right back to where you started. But notice what he's saying. And now he says it doesn't, it's not that it profits, doesn't profit at all. It does, it's profitable. Amen? You should take care of yourself. But here's the thing. He says, but godliness, if you have to choose, as far as exercise is concerned, choose godliness. Amen. He says godliness is profitable unto all things. And he says having the promise of life that now is. Now, if you exercise your body, you only have that promise in this life. Right. Amen. I look cool. I look buff. I keep telling Eli, he's one of my young preachers, I had to buy a bigger suit. I said, man, I got to quit working out. Amen. But that's the way we think, right? But notice what he says here in verse number 8. He says, the life that now is and that which is to come. In other words, your godliness, young people, your godliness will be profitable not only in this life, but in the life to come. You have to look at eternity. We're gaining reward. We're stacking it up now. This is the time. Now, I just want to read down through these verses, get down to verse number 11. So he says, verse number 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Bible's full of faithful sayings and worthy of all acceptation. But if you don't accept it, God can't do anything more for you. He already communicated with you in words. What's left? So he tells Timothy in verse 11, he said, these things command and teach. I don't want to be an overlord, but as a pastor, we do have some spiritual authority, right? And there are some things we need to command. There are some warnings that our people need to hear. There are some things, but we can warn all day long, but if they don't listen, right? And so now he gets down to verse number 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers. Young people, God wants to bless you and use you. And this verse here, he gives him five areas of conduct. Okay? This is what you need to work on. If you don't have this underlined, you should underline. Look what he says. All young people want respect, right? They want their license so they can drive. They want to be 21 because that's the world tells them they can be an adult or whatever the case may be. They all want respect. Here's how you get it. I'm going to show you how to get respect. All right, right here. He says in verse number 12, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Amen. And he's going to tell you where. He says, in word, your words ought to be pure. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. However the verse goes. And he says, verse number 12, he says, in word, in conversation. You say, I think words have to do with conversation. No, conversation means your conduct. Right? Where you go, what you do. We need godly young people who will tell that person beside them, no, I'm not going to do that. Just like the girl sang about yesterday. That was a blessing. Amen. And Brother Gray and his family. And then in charity. Charity is your love in action. Okay. What we have is a self-centered age. So it's all about me. But no, it's all about others. Amen. It's all about Christ. Charity is love for Christ. What you do for Christ. We're here this morning because we love the Lord. Amen. We witness because we love the Lord. We tithe because we love the Lord. We show up at church when the doors are open because we love the Lord. Amen. I mean, we live for God. We have standards and convictions because we love the Lord. I would get so frustrated with people because sometimes it just seems like, you know, again, it seems like the Baptists now are calling us legalists. And our people are dropping their convictions. But they forget that their motivation. And I've seen church members leave churches and leave their convictions there because they never had them in the first place. They weren't doing it for the Lord. They were doing it for the pastor. Ladies, you ought to open your cupboard and say, God, what pleases you in here? And what doesn't? And men, too. Amen? We don't preach on the men enough. Most of us are too old to wear skinny jeans. Amen? But anyhow, I digress. So here we go. He says in conversation and charity, in spirit, have a good spirit. Timothy had a good spirit. And he says the doctrine. Doctrine will keep you right. Amen. That'll give you the reasons to know what you're doing, why you're doing it. And then he says this. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading. What are you reading? Amen. You'd be reading that Bible. Amen. I know we preach it every service. We heard it 100 times this week, but you got to read the Word of God. Amen. Give attendance to reading. He tells Timothy, and this is good for all young people. He says the next one there, to exhortation. You need to read. So when you exhort somebody, you have something to draw from. Your words. Have you ever had somebody come by at a funeral and say, it'll be okay? It won't be okay. I lost a loved one. Amen. But somebody will come by and put their arm around you and say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all his saints. Now that'll comfort. Amen. That'll help you. So when somebody in your group says, hey, let's go do this. And you say, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You go do that, but I'm not going to do that. Amen. Exhortation. And then he says doctrine. Again, doctrine will keep you right. Then he says this in verse number 14. I'm almost done. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. He's talking to a young pastor, but we all have gifts. Amen. Any of you folks here play instruments? See your hands. Look at this. You know what that is? That's not ability. That's not talent. That's a gift from God. He gave that to you for you to use it for his honor and his glory. Amen. Because you're saved. Everything we ought to do, whatsoever you do in word or deed. Amen. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Now, Timothy was a preacher, but I mean, it was prophesied the preachers would come. I believe it was Jeremiah said, I will give you pastors after my heart. Amen. And he says, with the laying on of the hands of the Presbyterian, the Presbytery. And it's not Presbyterian. Amen. What was this? This was a committee. This was a group of elders from the local church. In other words, somebody was behind them, sending them out, praying for them. Amen. Working with them. And he said in verse 15, he said, meditate upon these things. When the devil comes by with a seducing spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks expressly and says, you know better than that. You need to meditate on that. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. The more you do that, the easier it'll get. Amen. The more you give in to self, the easier it'll get. Amen. I know this is deep, but... All right, so... Then he says, give thyself wholly to them. He said that thy profiting may appear to all. We got this appearance thing going on. We know how to dress right, look right, act right. We know what mom and dad want to hear. We know what to say. Right? Well, why were you out late? Well, I was leading this girl to Christ from work. That's the third girl this week. You don't seem that spiritual to me. You can't even clean up your room. Amen. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now watch what he says in his last verse. He says, take heed unto thyself. The world has a saying, you need to watch out for number one. But there's a spiritual basis to that. You do need to watch out for number one. You do need to take heed unto yourself. Amen. Where am I going? What am I doing? Am I slipping? Should be careful. Less than any time, the things we've heard, we should let them slip. Don't slip. We're around it so much, we tend to let it slip. He says, unto thy doctrine, unto the doctrine. He said, continue in them. There's this word, continuance. Continue. I've been pastoring where I'm at 29 years now. I've been in this church for, since 1981. And now I'm like one of the two pastors left in our area that have been there that length of time. And there was a pastor there prior to me. He was in the ministry as long as Brother King. Where's Brother King? Brother, would you come up here? Would you help me today? Oh, I've been waiting for this. When was the last time you were an illustration in a preacher's sermon? Amen. Come on up here. I can't wait to say get out of here. Right here. Face these young people. How long have you been in the ministry? 42 years. 49 years. Do you know why we love Brother King? It's not because of what he says. It's because of what he is. You need to be something, not just say something. Yeah. Now get out of here. Amen. Thank you, preacher. And that was just an act of love. That was all I could give you. Amen. Unburdened, I guess. He says, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. Amen. I believe it was Jesus that said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself. When we see save in the Bible, we think it means salvation. It doesn't mean that. It means rescue yourself from this world. Save yourself. Hang on to what you have. Follow God. It's worth it. It's worth it. He won't let you down. Amen. He's no man's debtor. Amen. Don't slip. Pay attention. Don't ignore the warnings. Save yourself from falling. And then when you go to lead someone to Christ, like the preacher talked about last night, your life can back it up. You ever notice the most carnal Christian on the job is the guy that's always witnessing? Because he's no better than a Catholic. He feels like he's doing something to gain heaven. Amen? Do you work with the same people or is it just me? Amen. I got a Catholic guy. He's talking about people needing Jesus all the time. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's lost. Amen. So I want to be an effective witness for Christ, don't you? Amen. I don't know what more I could say. It comes down to you. You have to take heed to yourself. You have to save yourself. Amen. And Paul gave Timothy, I challenge you to do this. Maybe tomorrow or maybe next week when you get up, read this chapter over slowly, thoughtfully. I was never a good reader. Amen. And so I had to read the Bible slow. And my wife, she's a great English teacher. I didn't bring her with me. Somebody asked me, "Where's your wife?" I'm not even sure I have a wife, but amen. But between that King James Bible and her help and God's help, I've learned to somewhat communicate. Amen. The Spirit speaketh expressly. Man, we need to listen. Amen. Let's bow our heads today. Preacher, you come. I don't know if you want to have a piano player come. Maybe you need to want to come to the altar today. I don't know if the Lord's used any of this to help you. Just going to take a moment, do that today.